Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
This is Amy Barker.
And this is Richard Gray.
And from the Geek Actually Studios, this is Podcast Pillowfort.
Coming up today,
we have new and news, including a new podcast from Slate.
Then we'll send two podcasts into the ring for our latest podcast, Smackdown.
And then we are introducing a new segment, which I think we're going to call The Pitch. We haven't quite decided that.
We'll make it up as we go along.
Yeah, I think so.
And finally, we'll finish up with the things that we've learned this week. So grab your headphones.
A tall drink.
And join us in the Pillow Fort.
Wow.
Yeah.
That one hurt just a little bit.
Now, well, we should start off with a warning, shouldn't we?
Yeah, just a tiny bit of a warning. There will be a bit of language this time around.
And I've warned you about this, Amy.
I know. But that's okay. A few of the things we are covering today will have a fair bit of language, and I think, well, it's all language, but some, you know, rough language. So, yeah, if it bugs
real
you.
Real sailor shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's
yeah,
what we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah. So if it bugs you, go away.
That's exactly
that's what
right.
it comes down to.
Speaking of which, yeah. I don't know if that was the worst segue ever.
Absolutely.
But one of our first bits of news is a new podcast.
A new one.
Yeah, apparently. They're creating them all the time.
Slate is just cranking them out.
Slate is like a couple of bunnies and coat hangers. They're just going at it.
So David Plotz has a new one out called Working, and it's, well, kind of like it sounds.
I need to go back and clarify that coat hanger thing. Because I meant that whenever, you know, the whole thing when you put two coat hangers in a wardrobe, you come back, there's like 15 coat hangers.
I wasn't even going to go there. I was just going to let you keep
I
that
just
one
wanted to
all for
clarify
you.
That.
It's all about you. That's okay.
So yeah, Slate.
Slate, Working. David Plotz. He's got this new podcast called Working. And what he's going to do, actually what he's already done, is gone out this past U.S. summer and interviewed a whole bunch of people, famous people, not so famous people, and talked to them about their working day. Mm. I have a sneaking suspicion this one's going to go on my rotation when I'm commuting to work, because I have a rather long commute.
Yeah.
But the first one was with Stephen Colbert.
Yes.
So all the Colbert Report people will be.
Colbert Report.
Report. Sorry, you can tell who doesn't watch it. Sorry. Yeah. So have you listened to any of this yet?
I have, actually. I've listened to all three of them.
Oh, wow.
I've listened to the first one on the strength of Colbert.
Yeah.
Because I'm a huge fan. There's not many episodes I haven't watched of him. But it's a really different because
Venn diagrams separate.
It's funny because there's not he talks about his character. He talks about Stephen Colbert in the third person a lot of the time, which is really interesting.
Really interesting.
And you get a really detailed breakdown of his working week.
Yes.
Which is fascinating.
It is. And it's like clockwork that. I mean, I've never worked in television. I don't know how that works, but it is absolutely, I couldn't, like, it's at 7:40 and it's 7:50 we do this. And it's, anyway, listen to it. It's worth it.
It really is.
Absolutely.
But then the second episode is almost completely different.
Totally different. I really enjoyed that second episode a lot with the inner city GP, Mary.
Dr. Kohlbrenner.
Yes.
There we are. Because it's in your show notes.
It is in my show notes. Right there. Black and white.
And it's really, because she's really talking about dealing with patients with narcotics addiction, but also just the general family practice kind of,
and the relationships you build with people as a general GP and inner city GP, and the things you see. It's really, really interesting.
The third one really interesting because it's about a Baptist pastor.
I haven't listened to that one yet.
Whose district is Washington D.C. And it's like 6,000 people. Plus, he also streams onto the web. And he said he's got, because it's Washington, he's got everyone from extreme right-wing conservatives to, you know, extreme left-wing liberals, smaller liberals for people in Australia. and that is really interesting because he talks about the separation between his own personal views and what God would say.
Yeah.
And what his, and you know, his entire Tuesday is completely administrative because, you know, he's not just a pastor, he's also an administrator, and he has a whole lot of direct reports and he's running a company as he puts it sometimes. So it's just really fascinating.
You wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know that unless you knew somebody in that world.
Mm.
Interesting.
Speaking of companies.
Yeah, speaking of companies, Stitcher has been acquired by Deezer, which I had to look up to be perfectly
who
frank
is Deezer?
With you. I don't know. They're a streaming music company, blah blah blah, but they are really excited about this. I'm not a big Stitcher person, to be honest, so I don't know quite how that's going to impact.
But you can hear Podcast Pillowfort on Stitcher.
Yes, you can
through the Geek Actually.
Yeah, exactly. but they say it's really not going to impact on anything. They say it's just going to keep on trucking along.
That.
But you always wonder when big companies come together like that.
It's actually funny because the parallel, just to cross over to our other show behind the panels,
yep.
Amazon acquired the biggest comics reader, which was Comixology.
Right.
Said there'd be no changes. First day.
See.
There were changes in terms of how you bought the things.
Yeah.
So you wonder.
So if you're a Stitcher person, if that's how you consume, it's probably worth having a little read and keeping up on that.
How do you have an Android device for your phone, but you don't listen to them through.
No,
you listen. You've got a separate on an iPod. Don't
yeah,
you?
So, yeah, I do.
And so you do the whole iTunes experience.
Absolutely, and I use Podbay when I'm doing it on my desktop.
Yeah,
just to have a. It's just easy, and I like the way their interface is pretty cool.
You'd be surprised how many feeds the shows end up going out through.
I know.
By the time it's done.
It's very weird.
But one other platform that podcast turned up this week was on television.
Oh, it was on Jimmy Fallon, the Tonight Show. I heard glasses all over the joint.
Well, we've been banging on about Serial since episode one.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Because
it's a damn good show.
It's a damn good show. I got to catch up, actually.
I know. I'm an episode or two behind.
I know,
but,
me too.
I think they're up to episode 5 or 6 now.
Yeah.
This
is such an intriguing
and
story.
I think you said there's going to be...
A dozen
in the first series, yeah.
Yep. So,
And it's interesting because he was talking about the sort of things we were talking about, which was that her perspective keeps changing as the series goes through, as the audience perspective keeps changing. So it's a really fascinating series.
Which is such an important conversation to have because nowadays we get our news constantly and it comes and it goes, but we don't take the time to digest it and vacillate about things and get new information and come at it from a different perspective. So right now I think that is such an important series to have going on.
It's like the antithesis to 24-hour network news, which is like, there's a new update, there's a dog in front of the building, what can this mean?
Exactly.
And it's like this is someone who's actually researched it, brought new information, and how the new information does change the story.
Absolutely.
But how narratives change the story as well.
Absolutely. So. But the cutest part, the most adorable part of this whole interview, this very brief interview on Jimmy Fallon was when... because Serial is a straight podcast. It's not broadcast on the radio. They're finally doing a proper, pure podcast.
Mm.
And so he was a little concerned about people not being able to access just a straight podcast. So he went and interviewed one of his neighbors. And this woman is the most adorable thing. She's 80. Well, she tells you how old she is.
In the clip,
And we have a little clip of Ira Glass speaking to his neighbor.
You made a nice little video for us to show people how easy it is.
We realized, to explain, here's how you watch it. Here's how you listen to a podcast.
Yeah, you just said watch podcasts. You don't watch it. Yeah. But watch this.
Okay.
To show you how to listen.
So I had one of my neighbors do this.
This is your actual neighbor?
Yeah, and a friend from the dog park, and she listens on her iPad. And I thought, you're the perfect person
to explain.
Of course,
I know her now. The lady from the dog park, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an older person discussing how to do this. Watch this, please.
I'm Ira Glass.
I'm Mary, Irish friend.
Yes, so Mary, so why don't you explain just how to do it, how to get a podcast?
Oh, first thing you do is go to the website. That you know. When you get there, this is what you will see on the screen. And there's a little arrow over there. You press it, and congratulations, you're listening to a podcast.
I don't need to give away your age, but is it safe to say you are an actual older person?
I'm on the dark side of 85.
I love that. That's
the dark side of 85.
I can't wait to get to 85 or 86 so I can describe myself as
the dark side
of 85.
The dark side.
But it's good. And actually what it really did was bring to light for a lot of people these things called podcasts exist.
Yes, exactly.
Because they're huge. A lot of the stories we've been covering the last couple of weeks are that podcasts are big business now. You sent me an article earlier this week.
I think it was
in the New York Times.
Yeah.
Talking about how there's been a new podcast renaissance,
depending on what side of the equator you come from.
And they were talking about Serial kind of leading that kind of, This American Life and Radiolab.
Right, right.
You know, 99% Invisible, we've mentioned a few times.
Yeah.
Once or twice.
But the thing that was most interesting about that article, and we'll put a link in the show notes, is that once people sort of catch on to this idea of podcasts in listening in their car, it only had a very small percentage of the listening audience overall. But once they catch on to it, they very rarely go back to normal commercial radio other ways of consuming in their commute or in their, cooking or however they tend to listen to things. Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, obviously because of the show, but I've been listening to so many more lately, and it has just become part of my routine.
Absolutely. But and with that, I think
it's time. I think it's time we had our second SmackDown on the Pillow Fort.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, two champions have entered the ring. Introducing in the red corner, coming in at 21 episodes and wearing the blue trunks, it's the Final Level Podcast with Ice-T and Mick Benzo. And in the blue corner, coming in at 46 episodes and wearing the yellow trunks, is Brett Easton Ellis Podcast with your host, Brett Easton Ellis. Let's get ready to podcast smackdown.
That is so awesome. I'm sorry. I have to take a moment and just, that's the first time I've heard that. That was the best.
I was up all night doing that, Amy. I was in the stadium, obviously.
Well, clearly.
When we brought these two stars
that
in.
That was awesome.
Now, full disclosure, we were originally going to do an 80s versus 90s show.
Yes.
And there was a couple of podcasts we were listening to, which we quite enjoyed, but then we just couldn't quite find a way of doing
it
this. And
there.
It's partly why we didn't do a SmackDown last episode.
Yes.
But then you emailed me or messaged
emphatically.
Me and emphatically and said, look at this.
Oh, my God.
And it was that Ice-T has a freaking podcast.
Has a podcast.
Now, I didn't know this. Amy, for the uninitiated, who is Mr. T?
Wait a minute. You think there are, what, one or two people out there in the world who have no idea who Ice-T is?
There's probably two.
Well, yeah. Okay, so Ice-T is a rapper, first and foremost, musician.
Is it a rapper or a rapist?
A rapologist?
Let's stick with rapper. Actually, I don't want to go with rappist. Yeah.
And yes, that could get really weird. But he's also an actor. He's been on Law and Order for years and years. And he's also a reality TV star, in case you haven't seen Ice-T Loves Coco.
Ice Loves Coco.
Coco, thank you. Haven't you actually seen it?
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I have a soft spot in my heart for Ice-T from way back. And so whether you know him from Special Victims Unit or his music or Ice Loves Coco, he has been around for a whole long time. And I found out so much about him listening to this podcast. Oh, my God. I didn't realize how much of a gamer he was, which, I mean, when you kind of step back from it.
And in fact, the title of his podcast, Final Level,
exactly
refers to gaming.
Absolutely.
And in fact, I think the week that it debuted, it actually went to number one in the gaming podcast.
That's crazy.
Out of all the podcasts that it could.
But it's so, like I said, I have a soft spot for this guy. I think he's awesome. I saw Ice-T play years and years and years ago. I was traveling and had a free night. And as it turned out, the Ice-T and Body Count were playing.
Nice.
And just rocked up and got a ticket, went by myself. I know, but it was a lot of fun. And it was a great show. And I've actually seen him a couple of times. But what did you think? So I send you this link. I'd listened to a couple of episodes.
Well, I was an Ice-T fan from way back as well, pre-TV, pre-acting, because I remember in the late 80s and early 90s being given tapes, cassette tapes, by a friend. He said, you got to check this out, man. And it was the Iceberg album, and then one out, I think, was OG, Original Gangster. They were the two that kind of, and you know, around that, I think New Jack City came out. Yeah, 91 came out after that, or around that time. And so I was very aware of Ice-T around that time. And then when he was cast in Law and Order Special Victims Unit,
yeah,
I was like, oh, okay. But
exactly.
He's become, like, I think he says 15 years he's been on the show.
Yeah,
he's like the last man standing on that show.
That's crazy. I mean, I went back and watched one of the early episodes when he was first on, and boy, his acting was a little rough those first episodes. But man, he has really become, he's become such an important part of that. And I think he lends a certain weight to that show.
Well, actually, the forerunner to his podcast, I think, is a couple of years ago. Mm. There was a documentary, and I saw it at the Melbourne Film Festival called The Art of Rap.
Yes.
And it was him going around interviewing a whole lot of other rappers, talking about how they developed their lyrics.
Right.
And it was fascinating because you had people like Eminem, who had this really much more complex kind of way of developing their lyrics, and you had Kanye, and you had Chuck D, and all those sort of people.
Right.
Kind of like, he got, because he's Ice-T.
I was going to say, who else could have done that?
Yeah. He just went around. He does talk a lot about himself in that documentary as well.
Well, duh.
But which leads us into the podcast.
Yes, because it's not just him. It's not just Ice-T.
It's also Mickey.
Mick Benzo, who, again, I knew very little about going into this, but he's amazing. He's had a hell of a career, that guy.
Yeah.
And
also known as Uli Beats.
Yes. And so they work together on this podcast. I mean, it is Ice-T's podcast, but he and Mick sort of play off of each other, which I think is, they have such That's a good brilliant. Relationship.
Yeah.
And they've been working together for so long.
Because they give each other shit.
Totally.
So as opposed to another podcast we're about to talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll go there. But it's a nice relationship that they have. It's a nice play they have together. And they take it seriously. And they have all these different segments. They do a little bit about Law and Order. They do a bit about sports. They do stuff about music.
They do philosophy.
They do philosophy, which is just brilliant. And they do have guests on. It's not just the two of them riffing all the time. But if you're... I'm going to make a confession here. I'm a D&D girl from way back. I know.
Producer David McVeigh just gave his thumbs up.
Just gave me the thumbs up. We'll go on record about dragons another time.
You're like a parfait.
Layers upon layers. But it's okay, you know. And I didn't... So Ice-T did a voiceover for a D&D book, not the role play stuff, but the books that go with it. And I think we have a little clip from that one.
We certainly do. Him explaining the process of recording. And this was actually huge on the net at the time.
Yes.
So I'm trying to read it. Now, I'm not going to say I'm some literary expert that can read, you know,
right.
some heavy shit. This shit is impossible to read, son. So the words, first you have to get the way it's
the
spoken.
Pronunciation, the pronunciation.
Now, when you read these books, you don't have to speak the words. So you make up the pronunciation in your head, but to actually verbally say these words,
it's weird.
Son, it took me 3.5 hours to read 25 pages. I'm only reading a short story. It's like 45 pages. I have to do it in 2 days. I walked in there like, oh yeah, 40 pages, man. We got this, man. I got 3 hours. Huh.
2 days.
I needed breaks. I needed water. The guy was in the other room coaching me. Don't worry, Ice. You can make it. You're doing really good. You're doing really good. He was saying, yo, people have broken down, tried to read that stuff.
I love it.
I do too.
I love about it. It's just so authentic.
Absolutely.
Like he actually, do you feel like these two are just having a conversation
about
their week? And their week just happens to be more interesting than our week.
No shit. Yeah, much more interesting than mine.
Except for that D&D book you got called into read earlier this week, which was just, yeah, we'll talk about it in the future. Yeah. But as you said, he has guests too.
Oh, it's so many people. And the thing about it is they don't always agree with each other. They come from different areas. He's got musicians and he's got actors and he's got all these different people, but
yeah. Well, we do. We're both big fans of Bob's Burgers,
totally.
And I am, thanks to you. You introduced me to the show.
Yeah.
On episode 9, if you're looking for it,
episode
called "From Russia with Love." he has on Eugene Merman on there, who
I'm
plays Gene
already.
On Bob's Burgers.
Oh my god!
And Mick Benzo makes a proposition.
Let's call it
Eugene.
That.
The size of the room doesn't significantly
matter.
Well,
give me a joke or something, man.
Well, yeah, because this is the natural environment of stand-up.
You can't tell a motherfucker, give me a joke.
Yeah. What's wrong with you, Mickey? You can't ask someone to tell you a joke like they're on a
joke.
Stage.
I told somebody a joke the other day. Did you hear the joke about the lion walking through the jungle? The lion walked through the jungle. The lion ran up on a zebra. He said, "Rah!" He said, "Who's the king of the jungle?" And the zebra says, "You." He said, "You goddamn right." And the motherfucking lion kept walking. He followed up on a giraffe. He said, "Rah, who's the king of the jungle?" The giraffe said, you are. He said, "You goddamn right." So he kept on walking. He walked up to an elephant. He said, "Rah, who's the king of the jungle?" The elephant took his trunk, grabbed the lion around the neck, picked him up, slammed his ass into a tree 3 times, drug him through some mud, dropped him down, stepped on him, took a shit on him. Lion looked up and says, "God damn, you ain't got the trip just because you don't know the right answer." That's a joke.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ice-T.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, it was good.
Tip your waitress.
I if that doesn't convince you to watch this show, listen to this show.
God, I'd watch it too.
Yeah, I'd watch it too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wish they would video that one.
It is so much fun.
It is. It's a very good time. Now, Ice-T's a big character. He's a big personality. He's very, very opinionated. And the other podcast in the SmackDown this week also comes from a guy very opinionated, very out there, has been accused of all sorts of things over the years. It's writer, and I'm going to get his name right this time, Bret Easton Ellis, or B, as I'm going to call him from now on, because I get the E's all mixed up with his
name.
Let's
call him B from now on.
Yeah. So B's, Bret Easton Ellis podcast from Podcast One, has been going for about a year now. And if you don't know who Bret Easton Ellis is, he's an American writer. He wrote probably most famously American Psycho, but also Less Than Zero.
And more recently, The Canyons, the film.
Yeah, yeah.
Which he does talk about a lot.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
You'd think he had to, you know, he was invested in that project or something. So he has a podcast where he talks a lot about his own projects, but he also has famous people on, and because of who he is.
Eventually.
And, yeah, exactly. No, I'm going to be open-minded. He has a lot of famous people on, and they talk about all sorts of things. A lot of film. He goes into a lot of film.
Well, effectively, it is a film. He kind of posits it as a film podcast. He sort of says it's him talking about film in modern society, and he has guests on because he kind of drives the narrative.
Yeah.
It's like it's what he wants to talk about this week. That's the nice way of saying
that is such a nice way to say God, you're so diplomatic.
The less diplomatic way to say it is that Mr. Ellis talks for 20 minutes.
No, he does. He
exaggerating.
No.
He talks for 20 minutes.
Absolutely.
A short essay, like almost a pre-written essay, and then turns to the guest and says, "What do you think about all that?"
Yes. And the thing is, if it's somebody that agrees with him, it becomes this, you know, cheer fest for something. If it's something that disagrees,
like the Kanye episode.
Exactly. Oh, my God. The Kanye episodes are just.
That's a meeting of minds, that one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh. And I don't actually find those as interesting as I do the ones where he has somebody that he disagrees with.
Yeah, like the clip we'll play in a minute from Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein.
And I think that just brings something out in him a little bit different, a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, the where he's talking to. I kind of wish we'd clip that very first part of that episode. This particular episode of this podcast has gotten a little bit of discussion.
It got major press. It got New York Times coverage. It was a major deal. Just give you a bit of background to that episode.
Yes.
Fred Armisen, former SNL, Carrie Brownstein from Slater Kinney.
Yep.
Those of you who probably know those two names together, the wonderful Portlandia. Jim of the 90s.
Yay!
They had them
You're welcome, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, another show you've introduced
I know.
Me to. So
this is what I do. I'm just a pusher.
Instead of podcast pillow force, it's like, you know, shit Amy's introduced me
That's
to.
Right.
That's
right.
But he had the two of them on together, and he recognized, this is a B, recognized at this point that he hadn't had a woman on the show at this point.
Well, he's been accused of misogyny for a long time.
Very much so. Particularly, this is the writer of American Psycho, after all. And he recognized he didn't have a woman on. So he has this very long defense at the start of the show as to why he's not misogynist.
Yes.
And if you have to make that defense, that's telling you something.
It's like if you're wearing a t-shirt that says, you know, punk rock, then you have to advertise. Yeah, exactly.
And then he has the long defense of that and a whole thing about feminism and about, you know, these are things I've been accused of. What do you think about that, Carrie?
Yes,
and
exactly.
Then she actually, to her credit, and bless her cotton socks, this turns around and goes, I am not going to be your token woman, not going to be your representative for all women.
I love her more. Yeah. I love her more every day.
And she goes, I'm happy to have a dialogue of the three of us around those issues because they're issues that I love talking about.
Yes.
But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be your token woman.
Yep. And I think she actually said that with those words, I'm not going to be your token woman.
Yeah. She said exactly that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was already a Slater Kinney fan. I was already a Portlandia fan. But this just, I love her more for
Absolutely.
This.
Yeah. Well done. So they went on to talk about...
Eventually.
Yeah, exactly. Wes Anderson and his films and the aesthetic that he brings to the film scene.
And twee, generally.
And that's right. It started with twee.
Yeah.
And I had to describe what twee was to somebody else. And they go into that in this particular episode.
I'll describe tweecore to you later, by the way.
Oh, thanks. sounds brilliant. But so, yeah, in this clip they talk about Wes Anderson and his aesthetic. So, yeah.
Yeah, so this is about halfway through episode from the 31st of March.
Yes.
Watching the Grand Budapest Hotel, like watching most of Wes Anderson's movies, I kept thinking while watching it, and I know we're going to probably have a disagreement on that, so I'm totally fine. But, you know, would it have been more powerful if he had done it straight. If he had taken the story about a gay concierge at the end of an era, and if he hadn't stylized it to death and didn't rely so much on caricature and an overt assistance on design and symmetry, and instead played up the tragedy at the heart of the movie, I don't know. Would it, and this could apply to a lot of Wes's movies. I mean, would it have been scarier and funnier, maybe much more moving than just this touching, airless object it ends up being? And I can't be down on Wes Anderson because he is one of the few auteurs left in American movies. And that is a very rare thing. That's a huge thing now in this day and age of corporate movie making and someone with an idiosyncratic voice being able to make a large-scale American film with a very definite auteur style. So you can't – I mean, you kind of get locked into you have to give that props. But on the other hand, you can, as there are many people who are on the other side, find the movies hermetic and airless and with an over-insistence on whimsy that kind of lock them out of the movie. And I think, for example, Grand Budapest Hotel, I kind of amusingly hummed along with it for 30 or 40 minutes like I usually do. And then when I realized that the tone wasn't going to change, that the murders, the chases, the escapes were all going to be within the same kind of snow globe stylization, I kind of tuned out. And, you know, there's no rage, there's no sex, there's no passion really in Wes's movies. And it's all pretty deadpanned and muted and kind of neutered. And it's definitely a style, but it makes you wonder if this is a kind of arrested development in a way, even though I do think there is an underlying of pain in those movies. But, you know, there is that idea that that kind of sums up, and I don't know what we're going to use Twee with this, whatever, you know, that thing is. I mean, what is your feeling about Wes Anderson? Do you like his movies?
Oh, I love him. Love him.
I'm a fan of Wes Anderson.
Which I love them responding that way. Like, yeah. He's given this 2 minute. I'm sorry for the length of that clip, but we had to give you an idea. That was one of the shorter monologues.
I think I rang you the other day and said, I am really struggling to clip this because there was everything is 20 minutes long. Every time he opens his mouth, it 20 minutes
and
goes
And I counted
by.
At least half a dozen questions in there.
Yes. And isn't, but he says it's not an interview show. He's very clear about that. This is not a show where, you know, I'm going to ask the questions and you're going to answer.
I'm going to talk and you're going to.
That's right.
You're going to agree with me.
Exactly. Here goes my thesis. And then you respond.
In that same episode as well, he said, oh, you know, television has no atmosphere. Yes. And they both just kind of, you can almost hear them going, you fucking what?
Really? Are you kidding?
it really is. And look, there was another episode where we spoke a few weeks ago about Michael Ian Black on Mates.
Mates.
Mike and Tom Eat Snacks. And he interviews...
Because we're about respect for women.
That's what what are we about, Amy? Respect for women. What we do is review podcasts.
That's right. Sorry, you're losing me here.
But he interviews Michael Ian Black, who is a comedian and actor in his own right. And Michael Ian Black jokes with him, which I don't think he knows how to respond to.
No.
You were saying to me yesterday that he said he doesn't know how to respond to this.
He doesn't. Yeah, exactly.
And also the fact that he actually calls him out in this episode. Bret Easton Ellis drops where he goes, it's like pathos and bathos. And he goes, what's bathos? And he goes, I don't know.
Like he's using language.
I use the word all the time. I don't really know what it means.
So,
you know, which gives you a sense of where Bret Easton Ellis is coming from. And I said it right. Yay.
Yay, well done.
Because I keep saying breast eating Ellis.
So
keep
wrong.
Keep getting it wrong.
So wrong.
But this is to the point that he has to be right.
Yes.
And I don't want to bash Bret Easton Ellis.
I knew it. B.
I don't want to bash Bret B. Not least of which, because it's hard to say.
Yes. Bashing a bee could hurt if you hit it right on the spear.
But in his podcast, he goes, I don't want to have a go at this person, and then has a 10-minute go at them.
Yes.
So consider it. You just got owned, B. this was the extent that he went to recover from being called out over bathos.
Yes.
Bathos.
Okay.
It's a noun. Yes, pronounced bathos. It's a noun. And it's a ludicrous descent from the exalted or lofty to the commonplace. Definitions are also anticlimax, insincere pathos, sentimentality, mawkishness, and triteness or triviality in style. So bathos actually has a strong meaning.
It's good. Strong and
But the first meaning I'm more interested in, which
a
seems
to... ludicrous descent from the exalted or lofty.
Yeah.
Right. When something crumbles into bathos.
Right. Justin Bieber right now is undergoing a certain amount of bathos.
OJ.
OJ.
OJ bathed.
Yes.
I hope OJ bathes every once in a while.
Well, he's in prison now, isn't he? Is he out? I don't know.
I don't know what this... I don't follow the state of OJ on a regular basis.
No, but there should be this day in OJ podcast. That's right. That's
where is he? Where is OJ today?
So look, two very different shows.
Very.
Now, one of them I'll continue to listen to.
Yes.
I'm addicted to iced tea.
Me too.
The show and the beverage.
Well, yes.
As you know,
do like our tea.
I was going to say, and those of you who don't know, the official beverages of Podcast Pillarfort are tea and
beer. Yes. Absolutely.
So,
I think what the Brett Easton Ellis, in my opinion, the podcast needs is a point of difference.
Yes.
The points where the producer jumps in and gives him a break, gives him something else to talk about, makes it a little bit less about Brett Easton Ellis and more about the whole conversation.
But a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just a, you know, diatribe. It becomes much more interesting and it just has a different facet. And so I guess when you look at the iced tea one, he has, you know, Mick Benzo. And so those guys do play off of each other.
And don't let each other get away with
it. Exactly. They give each other shit.
Exactly.
And they call each other out on stuff. So I do like that.
I mean, it's unfair to compare them completely.
Completely.
But they're
but that's what we do.
Exactly. But it's a smackdown.
Absolutely.
They might be different weights, but we put them in the ring
and
together.
And we let them go.
And like, I tell you what, let's face it, if Ice-T and Brett Easton Ellis got into a fight... You know who you put your money on.
Absolutely.
Because I love that when they're actually speaking of boxing, they're talking about boxing. Mick and Ice are going off on about boxing on the episode with Eugene. And then they said, what do you think? And he goes, oh, he sounds like he's a terrific boxer. I'm assuming he's known in the world of boxing.
Yes.
So he doesn't. But they play with that. They, you know, and then they play on that whole thing and... That's the thing, that they can just roll with the punches on
Absolutely.
That show. It doesn't matter
Absolutely.
Where they go. And I love the way Ice-T ends a segment. And that was philosophy.
and that was sports.
Yeah. And he ends this, and the segment just ends.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Now both shows, we should say, are heavy with advertising.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And you notice that a lot. And you don't mind it so much in Ice-T's one because it kind of... You know, because it ties in. And the funny thing is, you know, he's gone from Cop Killer, which we played a little bit in the in the intro, to, you know, Nature Box provides you with snacks that your body needs, you know. and Squarespace,
yes.
Even me.
I can do a website.
I mean, if you're listening to podcasts, the big podcasts, you know, everything from, you often hear ads for Squarespace.
Yes.
You'll hear ads for Nature Box.
Nature Box, a lot of Nature Box.
And Audible.com.
Yes.
Now, if any of those want to sponsor us, we'd be more than happy.
Absolutely.
Just hit up. David at geekactually.com and he'll broker you a fine deal.
Yes,
a fine deal. Because we are on tour next year with behindthepanels.net. So,
nice.
You know, we were looking for sponsors.
We're open
for sponsorship.
Absolutely.
We're open all night.
Except on Sundays.
Now, Amy, who would probably listen to this? Now, apart from us, we'd probably listen to Ice-T.
Yes.
I think...
Look, the thing about the Ice-T one is if the language bothers you, you're gonna be turned off right away because I mean there's a lot of it in there. But if you can get past that and you just understand that's part of who he is, that's part of the culture, it's fine. It's just language, you know. That's how I see it. But if you watch Special Victims Unit or you fan of his reality stuff, or you just he's a fascinating person. You know, he's very self-made. You know, he was orphaned. I didn't realize he was orphaned.
Nor did I. Yeah.
And so he came out of the projects and he's had that. So it's a really interesting character. So he comes at this with that authentic, you know, struggle, self-made, understands, he talks a lot about making money and being, you know, but taking responsibility for yourself.
I love it when he takes aside, he talks to Justin, an open letter to Justin Bieber, pretends he's his uncle.
Yes.
He's kind of like, you can't do that. You got to have respect for yourself.
Don't.
But he's become really straight edge too.
Yes.
Like,
I don't do drugs.
I don't drink.
Nope.
Because I know the public's watching.
Yep.
And it's just amazing listening to this man, how he has really just kind of go, nope, this is my philosophy. This is what I'm doing.
But he doesn't bag anybody else out
nope.
for, you know, like Snoop and his very, you know, public, you know, drug consumption.
When they start talking about the Mexican drug cartel, he's like, nope, we're not doing
stop,
that.
Stop. Exactly.
We don't want to get shot.
No. We understand how this whole thing works. So, and I think that's why that show particularly resonates with me. Whereas the Bret Easton Ellis, I mean, if you're a fan of his work, if you like the way he writes, yeah, okay, that'll be great. I don't find him as authentic.
I find it frustrating a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I want them to get to, one, I often disagree with Easton Ellis.
And that's fine. I don't mind listening to somebody I disagree
with. Exactly. But there's no, as you said, there's no counterpoint on the show.
No.
And I want my voice to.
Yes.
Which is why the Fred and Carrie episode was good, because there was a little bit of a counterpoint.
Yes.
And Michael Ian Black doesn't let him get away with
shit. No.
Although I don't think B is aware that Michael Ian Black is giving him shit.
No.
So that's why it's interesting to listen to. What I haven't listened to is the Kevin Smith episode.
No, I haven't either.
And I'd love to listen to that, because they're two people whose interview style is to talk for 20 minutes and then let the other person speak.
Yes.
So it'd be interesting to see how that works.
Yes.
And the thing, podcast.
And I don't mind. It's not that I mind when a host goes on and on and on, clearly. But when on the drive over here.
Be quiet, Amy.
Oh, shush. when on the drive over here, I was listening to Girl on Guy with Aisha Tyler, and she has a tendency to go on, and she is very self-promoting, and she will do those things. I don't mind it from her because I find it authentic.
She's funny as well.
And oh my God, and she's gorgeous and funny and clever. And
which you can't see her on the podcast, but but she's hilarious.
She is.
She's genuinely one of those genuinely hilarious people.
Yeah.
And you can view Girl on Guy's the podcast, but you can also see her on things like Whose Line Is It Anyway? And hear her on Archer, of course.
Absolutely.
It all comes back to Archer and Bob's Burgers.
It always does. I thought it always came back to The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to start a new segment.
We are.
It's a segment we're tentatively calling The Pitch, but
who knows?
This is the sound clip we're using for it.
Sell them to me. Sell me your children.
This is the segment. This is one of your ideas, Amy.
Yeah.
The idea was that we both listen to different podcasts.
Yep. Whilst our Venn diagrams are quite overlapped, and I'm making a relatively rude gesture with my hands here, there are times when there are things that I listen to that fall into my camp or things that fall into your camp, and we may just bring them to the table and say, okay, here's something that's completely outside of your wheelhouse. Give it a go. What do you think? So we thought it might be fun to sort of sell them to one another and see where we are.
Tell me your podcast.
Absolutely.
Now, this is actually one you did try to sell me once before. And I listened to an episode.
You gave it a go.
I gave it a go. I didn't like it, but you said, no, you want me to listen to this.
Yeah.
And I actually did find this one clip that we're going to play in a minute, which actually I've listened to three times and it still makes me laugh.
It still makes me laugh.
I think I might actually start listening to it because I don't always get their references, but...
Okay. That's right.
I don't want to bury the lead.
I'm not going to cover that. I actually do have a page of notes. I have two pages of notes because I didn't want to forget. This is an important thing here that I'm selling to you.
Okay.
Okay. So the podcast that I'm pitching to you today is a podcast called The Read, R-E-A-D, and it's hosted by Kid Fury and Crystal. Kid Fury is a blogger, award-winning blogger, YouTube phenomena, and he and Crystal are really good friends. Crystal is this amazing, outspoken female writer and massive Beyonce fan.
I've already picked up.
Yeah, just a little bit. So they've been going for a little bit more than a year now, and the structure of the show is this. They have, at this point, sort of four segments. They have Black Excellence, Hot Topics, Listener Letters. Oh my God, Listener Letters. And The Read. Now, I feel like I have to digress a little bit because I have to explain what Read is. Well, explain what reading is. God, that sounds stupid. But what The Read is. So, and I have pulled the definition.
Oh,
and I'm gonna read it.
Is it anything like bathos?
It's like bathos. Yeah, that's right. So I pulled this from the RuPaul's Drag Race wiki.
Oh, nice.
So reading, it's a verb to wittily and incisively expose a person's flaws. In other words, read them like a book. And it's often exaggerated, and it's an advanced form of insult. And the term is reference to the film Paris is Burning. Oh my God, if you haven't seen Paris is Burning, fantastic doco. So that's the structure of the show. Now, why do I like it? I actually have my top five reasons why I like The Read. So my number one reason for loving this show is the chemistry of the two hosts. They are just fantastic together. They're really quick-witted. They play off each other really well. And to show that, I thought we'd go with clip one, which is the one from an episode in October called 100 Racist Recipes. And this is... do I even need to set this up?
No.
No.
Let's
okay,
just go with
just
it.
Just go.
For those of you who didn't know, Aretha Franklin has a new album coming out called Aretha...
Reloaded.
No. Reloaded. No, she has an album out called Aretha Franklin Sings the Great Diva Classics. One of those great diva classics is Rolling in the Deep by one of our faves, Adele.
Slaydell.
And it's literally called the Aretha version. Now, I spent $1.29 on this single just because it made me laugh for 30 minutes. Like, I laughed so hard.
Yes, God is good.
I didn't even see the Letterman performance, because we'll get to that just in a second. But when I tell you, it's not even that she sounds like vocally bad. To me, she sounds like Aretha Franklin. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that she sounds like, you know, oh, she sounds horrible. It's just the way that she, first of all, why are you singing Rolling in the Deep? Secondly, why are you singing it like this? Like, just in the deep. Like, it's just like...
Like, it's a lot.
It's so much.
It's great. That actually goes on for minutes.
It goes on a lot longer, that one. And she's the two of them are just fantastic together.
And sidebar, go look up that Letterman performance of Aretha Franklin.
I went back and forth, and that song has been stuck in my damn head ever since the show.
So, she segues into Ain't No Mountain at the end of it. It's worth Sissy it for the Houston. Dress alone.
Jesus Christ. And Sissy Houston, who is Whitney Houston, aunt, is standing behind Aretha Franklin, and she doesn't want to be there. She doesn't know why she's there. I'm not here for lyrics. I'm not here for choreography. Okay, so that's my number one reason for that, is the two hosts. They're just fantastic. My second reason is their honesty. They are just, these are not on your notes. These are my notes. I'm watching Richard try to figure out where I'm getting this information from. So it's their honesty. They are just so out there. They're willing to share themselves with their audience and what it's like to be a person of color in America right now. It's fantastic. My number three reason is their topics. They go all over the joint. Now, you mentioned that when you listen to it, they don't necessarily always talk about people that you know.
Mm.
There's a lot of artists that they cover, that they talk about, that they love. I have no idea who Tyga is. No idea. Not a clue. But that doesn't matter. It's the way that they talk about it. And it's not just that. They go into gender politics, race relations, sex, love, friendship, faith. It's all over the map. And a lot of times I don't agree with them, or they make me question what I'm thinking. I do like that. And I mean, a lot of people don't like that, but I do. I like to be sort of taken to task sometimes.
Challenged.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're going to listen to clip two, which is the one from October 9th. 2014, from an episode called No Label. And this is a point where Crystal is talking about Raven Simone, who was a child actress, who was did an interview with Oprah Winfrey.
That's so Raven.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's so Raven. And this is if you didn't see this interview and you don't know who we're talking about, she's all grown up now, and she has some issues with Raven Simone, that is, has some issues with how she is referred to in the media. And I believe this is the clip where Crystal is discussing what her reaction to the Raven Simone interview.
So when I sat here and watched Raven on Oprah, I really didn't care when she said that she didn't want to label herself as gay or as African American, because even though I feel like people who say, oh, I don't like labels, they really only do that shit when the label is something that reflects minority status, which is something I mentioned on Twitter. Nobody ever says, oh, I'm worth $50 million, but don't label me as rich, or yeah, I was born in Louisiana or Georgia or California, but don't label me as an American. It's always don't label me as gay or bi or a lesbian, don't label me as African-American or whatever the fuck else, because you don't want to be typecast. You don't want to be stuck into this hole where you have to play the gay black girl or whatever the fuck else. I get it. I get that, sis. I may not necessarily agree with you, but I understand where you're coming from. So I really didn't give a fuck about none of that until she said, I'm an American and that's a colorless person, because that is the dumbest fucking thing I have ever heard a grown, intelligent person say. Americans are not colorless. You don't have to be from America. Like, all you need is access to my good friend, Mr. Google, to see that America is not made up of colorless people. Like, this country is full of people of all different colors, all different races, all different ethnicities. Like,
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, they don't hold back. That's I love that about them. And speaking of Crystal, that's one of my other things about this show is Crystal's laugh.
Yeah, it's so infectious.
Oh, my God. Every time she starts and she does this thing and you can tell she leans back from the mic and it must just fill up the room. She has the best laugh ever. And the two of them together are just so funny. And my number five reason for loving this show is their expressions of gratitude and really looking for positive things. Now, we've played a few clips where they do kind of talk maybe not so positively about people, but that isn't the bulk of the show. They do talk about people who are doing great things. That's the section Black Excellence that they begin with. And I think we have a clip from one of the Black Excellence from, yeah, it was this year, earlier this year.
Yeah, in July this year.
Yeah.
Black Excellence this week goes out to a young man, an 11-year-old young man by the name of Donovan Smith. Donovan Smith is the youngest vendor at Rail Yards Market in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where he sells his own line of soaps.
What? How cute is that?
Donovan crafts his own soaps to look like usually a dessert. Pies, donuts, cupcakes.
What?
Burgers. He's got like little Star Wars soaps and stuff like that that he sells in this market. And 20% of all his earnings go to Supportive Housing Coalition of New Mexico, which is basically a group that helps homeless people, which he was a part of himself. His mother, I believe, Casey Smith, was, I think, in the Navy and then went through their whole veteran homelessness bullshit.
Wow.
And this was, I guess, an organization that helped them get on their feet. And so now he sells
his own
soap, 11 years old.
How sweet is that?
And gives back.
That is the dopest shit.
Donovan
is
sickening. So
these kids have the biggest hearts. That is just, that is
amazing.
I mean,
it just goes to show you that some of them out here.
Yeah.
Some of these little kids, the future is not damned.
All the feels.
Oh, and that's the thing. I mean, they don't just talk about the big things. They bring up little things like that, which is just fantastic. So why is this show important?
Yes, Amy, why is this show important?
I will tell you why the show is important. This show has definitely struck a chord. They have been interviewed on The Guardian, Washington Post, New York Observer, and they've been selling out live shows, live appearances around the U.S. They are constantly talking about how they're flying out to, you know, California or Florida and doing all these shows. And I think what's important about it is this is what this show represents. Kid Fury and Crystal are not those well-groomed NPR types with a team of writers and people backing them up. I mean, I'm sure they have a production team to help them up. But they fall more into that passionate fan category. Yeah. I mean, they're clearly very gifted, passionate fans. And I think this show has tapped into the idea that the sort of broader media are missing some very key markets.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are filling in that gap. And so they're very unfiltered. They're very uncensored. They're out and proud. And a lot of people really just respond to that.
Mm.
And that's what's important about podcasting in general, is that you can do that. You have that opportunity to connect with people and fill those gaps where they're needed. And so who might like the read is the important part of this. And I realize this show is not going to be for everybody.
Mm.
It has a lot of language. It talks about a lot of issues that, you know, people don't want to discuss, whether it's the type of music or if you don't like those letters from the lovelorn kind of thing, this isn't for you. But it's their chemistry that brings this whole thing together, brings it all back around. And like I said before, I don't always agree with what they say, but I love the way they say it. And I really enjoy them together. And so that's my pitch for the read.
Well, look, I've listened to a couple of episodes and I didn't like it at first.
Yep.
But going through this process, listening to these clips, the last couple of episodes I listened to, I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
You're right. It is the chemistry. So,
absolutely.
That might be a successful pitch for you, Amy.
Woohoo.
I might listen to that. Now, I've got to pitch you something, haven't I?
Yes, you do.
So now, I wasn't quite sure what to pitch you because half the shows I listened to were ones you've suggested to me. So I went to my esteemed sensei, David McVeigh.
Woo.
And asked him to what could I listen to and then pitch. And it's one he's actually been plugging to me for a long time. It's a show called Film Sack. This is from the Frog Pants Studios network. And this is hosted by Scott Johnson, Brian Ebbett, Brian Dunaway, and Randy Jordan. And what they do, each episode they pick a film from Netflix. It has to be on Netflix. It's the rule. And then to quote their website, it splatters it all over your inner ear. Now they
messy.
Now this is another show like your example, like the Reed. This is a lot of the charm of this podcast is about their chemistry. It's about the way that they talk to each other about these films, and often they choose films which either aren't very good or have a significant cult status, or if they are very good, they're films that geeks will know.
Right.
So this is very much a geek centric show. This is right very on. Much for geeks talking about stuff they love. Or stuff that they love to hate, or hate to love, whichever way you want to do it. They're all over the map, and I'll say up front, my advice for people who want to get into the show is the advice that was given to me by David,
okay.
Which was go through their list of shows, have a look at what films they've done, and if you see a film that you like or a film you want to hear them talk about. Go ahead and listen to that one first. The first episode I listened to wasn't the latest one.
Right.
It was one they did on Ghostbusters 2.
Because you like that. Just a little bit.
And this is the thing. Just a little bit, yeah. But the thing is, it's Ghostbusters 2 that they covered.
Not
Ghostbusters.
Because
everyone's talked about Ghostbusters. They decided to go back and give Ghostbusters 2 a chance.
Fair enough.
But the first clip that I want to play is from an episode where they spoke about Breakfast Club, which is a movie I know you love because we all love the John Hughes era. And the reason I chose this clip, it really gives you an example of the type of minutiae of detail they get into.
Oh, nice.
But also the interplay that these guys have with each other.
Emilio Estevez has mutant powers. He can make glass shatter just by dancing and singing.
He was doing those runs and jumps off the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really him.
That was a footloose moment.
He was a real precursor to Dirty Dancing right there. He he looked exactly like Patrick Swayze trying to win over the crowd.
Yeah, I can totally see that. It definitely had a footloose vibe to it.
This is why you don't do the pot, kids.
You go nuts.
That's right. You go nuts, scream, and break glass doors, which is brilliant.
And you often find yourself looking at the movie in a completely different way.
Totally.
By the end of it. I don't know now whether I liked or hated Breakfast Club.
Oh, no.
Because I love Breakfast Club. Let me state for the record, John Hughes, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And John Hughes was one. Breakfast Club was one of those movies which they kept trotting out for me at school. Oh. There was always a subject.
You guys got to watch Breakfast Club in school?
It was like one of the three videos we had.
Oh, Jesus.
It was that, Mississippi Burning. And,
Jesus, really?
And one a documentary of some kind, I think, with the three
we
movies.
We just got to see those horrible Driver's Ed videos where like somebody goes through the windshield, don't drink and drive.
Sidebar, bad. I think one of the videos we did get to watch, this was earlier, and for some reason they waited until like year six.
Yeah.
So we're like 10 or 11 or something by the time they showed us the sex ed videos. Maybe even early middle school. Like it was ridiculous, but it was like, folks in America will remember these. It was the Disney Triangle of Health series.
Oh, God.
And it was like the equilateral triangle.
Oh, God. Really?
And it was like when you're mentally, physically, and emotionally ready for sex. And it was weird. It's Mickey Mouse explaining sex. Just
well, he doesn't.
Wrap your brain around that for
There's
a minute.
There's so many pantsless characters in Disney that...
She put on a swirl. Get it? Moving right along to other pantsless characters with sexual proclivities. Howard the Duck was another episode they covered. And to keep the John Hughes connection, here is them discussing one of the characters from the film.
It really did. I'm going to tell you my favorite part of the movie, and that is going to be Geoffrey Jones.
You got to love him, dude.
Rooney. He made this movie. I mean, up until then, it was just a movie about a duck. But once Geoffrey Jones got on scene, I'm telling you, the character he played was brilliant.
For the listening audience, you're referring to Ferris Bueller's principal.
Yeah, Principal Rooney.
Correct.
Ed Rooney. Yeah.
And they did a very good job of a slow transformation from who he was as an actor. And it's funny because as soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh, he's obviously going to be the bad guy. He always plays the bad guy. Mm-hmm. But he played the good guy. I mean, he was really a good character, or his character was supposed to be good anyway, up until the point that he was possessed by, you know, an alien being.
His voice.
You want to go and watch Howard the Duck now, don't you?
I totally do. I was trying to remember the last time I saw Howard the Duck.
That's what this show is like. Fantastic. This show is like, even if you haven't seen the movie in a while, you'll be like, and you think you know the film, they go into such detail as well. They go into, they get pull out obscure trivia you didn't know. And in fact, one of the things I learned this week is actually from an episode of Film Sack. We'll get to that later. Finally, the final type of show, which I think you'd really love, is actually the commentary episode.
Yes.
And the most recent episode, I think at the time of this recording, or maybe it was the second most recent episode, was a commentary track they did for the final original Star Trek original series episode, Turnabout Intruder. And
can I just clarify? So when you say like commentary style episode, yeah, do
they actually watch
speak over the, so like MST3K?
Well,
like
they don't actually have the audio because it's obviously copyright.
Right.
But they give you a sync up point and then do a commentary for them watching it live recording this episode. So this is from the final episode of the original series, and this is hilarious.
Nice.
That lavender was a bold choice there. Where? In the transporter room.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That red carpet, not a good idea.
Third season, isn't it known or remembered for being just the absolute cheapest, like just the walls and everything's just so cheap? Right.
Real facts I just made up. Everything in this episode is reused. A single set piece that wasn't reused.
You know, you say you made it up.
I think that's actually
true.
But
I believe you.
I know.
So this is, you can see it casts a wide gate net.
Yeah.
This is
and to be fair, you are, you know, playing to your audience here.
Very much so.
Because bit of a Star Trek.
Just wee bit of a geek. Yeah, that's why. There was a bit of strategic choice in this pitch. So that's one of the most, but they do feature commentaries as well. They dig deep. Ooh.
That's what she said.
That would have been also almost unfortunate a verbal typo there. They dig deep into the Netflix archive. It has to be on Netflix because they all have to watch it. But I have to thank David for recommending. He's been telling me almost as long as I've been podcasting with him, which is about 3.5 years now.
Nice.
To listen to this. And
all right,
I listened to it finally. I love it. I think you'd really like this show.
Okay,
so
it does sound like something that'll be in my wheelhouse. I will have to start subscribing to that. So what are we going to do next time? We'll come back and give a little I learned this summer sort of.
We'll both listen to our respective pitches and come back and see whether or not you sold it to me or sold me up the garden, up the river. Yeah.
I may do that as well, but that's okay.
Now, we also learnt stuff this week, Amy.
We did.
Section we like to call Things I Learnt This Week.
I'm learning!
That makes me laugh every single time.
Amy, why don't you kick this one off? You've been listening to a podcast with a subject near and dear to my heart.
Cheese moves. Okay, so Heritage Radio Network, which we've spoken about before, have an entire podcast about cheese. Now, I'm originally from the Midwest in the United States, as opposed to the Midwest somewhere else. And so cheese
is
something.
Lots of
places have the Midwest. Well, yeah, very true. But the thing that I learned from this particular podcast is that the ACS, or the American Cheese Society, has a certification program, this exam, and the damn thing is on the software that they use is the exact same software that they use for the bar exam in the U.S., So this isn't not for cheesemakers. This is for cheesemongers. So post-production cheese people sit this 3-hour test and get certified in, cheesology? I don't know.
Cheesitude.
I like that. And that there's a huge controversy about this test, that it's apparently it's expensive and not everybody can get access to it.
Cheese controversy.
Always a Prince reference. And so, but it's worth listening to this from the Heritage Radio Network, because not only, a whole podcast on cheese, but that they give
don't
you little,
listen on an empty stomach.
Oh my God, seriously. But that they do talk about things like the controversy in the cheese world, these things that you just don't know about. So I liked that. So go have a listen to that. Cheese moves on the Heritage Radio Network.
That's going to be hard to top because it was Halloween.
Yeah.
I listened to Stuff You Should Know, and they had an episode on how haunted house attractions work. Now, you'd like this episode as well for some reasons I did, and this is not the clip I pulled, but they do talk a lot about Disney's Haunted Mansion.
Oh, I love Disney's Haunted Mansion.
Someone told me that's one of your favorite rides, Amy.
It is.
But this is something
Can't
else.
Can't wait to go again.
I might go next year.
Yeah.
Thinking about doing that.
A few times.
This is something I learned, though, about one of the first recorded haunted attractions in history.
The first official recorded haunted attraction, according to this person who wrote this article in Fangoria.
Becca McKendry.
He says that the Orton and Spooner Ghost House in the UK in the Edwardian Fair in 1915 was the first genuine haunted attraction.
Yep, that was the first ghost house.
And in France, they had something called the Grand Guignol, and that was sort of similar, I think, and around the same time.
1915,
yeah,
Jesus.
I just got schooled.
You did. We all got schooled.
Now, this is a podcast you've mentioned before.
Oh, I love Good Job Brain. It's your weekly trivia and offbeat, no, Weekly trivia and offbeat fact podcast, something like that. They're fantastic. So yeah, I said before, it's four mates who do pub trivia and they talk about all sorts of crazy things. And they had, oh, I just realized a typo in my show notes here. Scandalous.
Don't worry, they can't say it.
Oh, good. Thank you. So this episode was their Halloween episode. And you did actually tell me before that you knew this little trivia tidbit, but that's okay.
I know
everything. I didn't know. Well, yeah, we figured that out before. I'm always right, and you know everything. I don't know how that's going to work out in the end.
It's going to make an awesome podcast.
It really is. So one of the hosts, Colin, put together a quiz about 80s slasher movies, which, you know, were right in my wheelhouse. And he was talking about the classic movie Halloween and Michael Myers. And I think we've got that clip there.
In the movie Halloween, the character Michael Myers disguises himself by wearing a latex mask of what famous actor known for his role in a legendary sci-fi TV series?
Wow. Can't be William
Shatner.
It is William Shatner.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, that was actually a fact I didn't know. Yeah. But you got to keep in mind, I'm a massive fan of both Halloween and Star Trek.
Right.
So I knew.
But when you're going back and look at it, have you looked at the mask since? Oh, my God.
I know, it changes the whole way you
watch that. Yeah. And apparently they didn't know at the time that it was William. They just found the mask and said, oh, here, this is creepy. Wear
painted
this.
Painted it white. Yeah.
Yeah. And said, here you go. I don't even know if they painted it white. It probably just bleached, you know, how plastic bleaches over time. So they went back and they had to get another one. And said, oh, here's the part number, you know, here's the number of this mask. And they're like, oh, that's William Shatner. So it just really, I didn't know it. I'm sure a lot of people out there did, but it was news to me and it just stuck with me. And I've been asking people all week, did you know?
That's why we listen to podcasts. We're really smug about things.
Exactly.
It's like watching QI. You can just drop in facts whenever you feel like
it. Well, sometimes they're right sometimes.
Now, this is a fact that, it turned out Film Sack, as I said, is I learned something. I learned something about Ghostbusters 2 I didn't know. I know, and this is something I should have known, because it should have been obvious, but the director of that film is, of course, Ivan Reitman.
Right.
And his son, Jason Reitman, has gone on to do movies like Thank You for Smoking and Juno and so forth.
Right.
Is a famous director now in his own right.
Yes.
He was actually in the film.
What?
And he was actually the kid. He was as a kid. He was at the birthday party in Ghostbusters 2. He's the guy that actually says this to the Ghostbusters.
You know, my dad says you guys are full of crap.
Jason, well, some people have trouble believing in the paranormal.
No, he just says you guys are full of crap and that's why you went out of business.
He's even called Jason in the movie, so I should have known this.
You should put it two and two together.
And when you think about that, my dad says you guys are full of crap. It's the director of the film.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
So there you go.
There you go.
That's what I learned this week.
We're all learned.
Yay. Now, we actually had more feedback this weekend.
We did.
Which means it's time for me to start playing a bit of this. The alternate version of the girl from Ipanema.
Nice.
So, let's start with our tiny triumph.
Yay, we did. So, last week we talked a bit about the new podcast from MamaMia.com.
Yes.
Mamma Mia Out Loud. And we had a lovely tweet from Kate Liefer, who is the host of Mamma Mia Out Loud.
Who is now following me on Twitter.
Ooh, she's right behind you. Look out. So, thank you for that. That was lovely to hear. And they have a new episode out, which I just listened to, I think, yesterday.
I listened to it this morning on the way here. Yeah,
cool.
It's a good one, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's really interesting. So, thanks for that, Kate. Lovely to hear from you.
She actually said, you talked about us. Ooh, woohoo, and thank you. And then she said she'll listen to ours. So I don't know if she's listened to our show yet, but she retweeted our thing out. So I was very excited by that.
Yeah, me too. That was great.
The other bit of feedback we had is addressed to both of us, but it's really to you.
Yeah.
Amy. This is from Justin Middleton, who I believe you know.
I do.
It says, "Hey, Amy and Richard, I've been a fan of Amy since for a long time. Those hanging out with Skater Day, she mentioned in episode 2. I was there. My emphasis. she's always been someone I've looked up to. Is he short?
No.
Okay.
It's just me in heels.
He says, I listened to the podcast for the first time on my bike ride home tonight. I experienced a wave of great memories I wasn't really prepared for. I needed that.
Aww.
So he said, on the show, it's perfect. That's it. I listen to so many podcasts and it's so rare that they're done well. He goes on to talk about Roman Mars's buttery binaural quality of his voice, and talks about Radiolab being fascinating. Sorry for not reading the whole thing out, but we're already over time.
Oh, yes.
He said, goes on to say that he recommends, he said, it's getting late and the endorphins seem to be dulling my creativity, but I want to leave you with a few shows I've discovered recently and I've absolutely love.
We'll have to have a look at some of those.
And you haven't heard of them
yet.
It's
a great list.
Yeah, he says, hopefully you'll enjoy them. I'll just read out the list of the ones. He said, first of all, Reasonably Sound by Mike Rugnetta.
Yes.
On Infinite Guest, APM.
Nice one.
He says, it's a podcast about sound.
Yes, it's so really good.
there's another one called Wits by John Moe & Co., also on Infinite Guest, APM. It's a public variety improv show out of Minnesota. It's like Prairie Home Companion that might make you pee. I like that. It's had people like Amy Mann, John Hodgman, stuff like that on there. Welcome to Night Vale, which is one I keep meaning to listen to. Yeah. Joseph
that
Fink
one is
and Cecil
so
Baldwin.
Surreal.
Yeah, it's a weekly radio
drama.
Which is like, just before we started recording, the Davids and I were talking about doing some kind of read-throughs and drama.
Nice.
And now that we've got a girl on the network.
Where? What girl?
Amy, that's you.
Oh, crap.
He mentions Risk, Kevin Allison, which is a traveling indie mic open mic storytelling forum.
Yeah.
It's hilarious, disturbing, and sexy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even more than
all
the show?
All at the same time. No, not even close.
Okay. Finally, he also mentions Sawbones by Dr. Sidney McElroy and Justin McElroy from Maximum Fun. He says, I'm sure you know this one, but if not, go and listen to that one. And he said, that's it for now. Now I'm spent. Thanks for a wonderful show, Justin.
Justin, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's been a long time. We'll have to catch up.
And over the girl from Ipanema, apparently.
Right over the
Everything makes the show a little bit sexier with the girl from Ipanema, don't you
Absolutely.
Think? Particularly this version.
Yeah. But if anybody else wants to give us some feedback, where can they do that?
They can do that at feedback at podcastpillowfort.com.
Yeah.
Or they can hit us up on Twitter, as Kate Lever did, at Pillow Fortcast.
Very nice.
Which is, and also if you want to leave us some great feedback, also go to iTunes.
Yes.
Look up Podcast Pillow Fort. Leave us a star rating.
Please,
leave us a review.
Leave us some stars.
Don't just email them to us, because that's how we get further up in the podcast rankings.
Yes.
And people can see that we exist.
Yes.
So it's,
I think that's it for
today. I think
today.
It's time that we started wrapping the show up with a little bit of ministry.
Halloween. Seeing as it is Halloween week.
Yes, it is Halloween week. By the time you listen to this, Halloween will be a distant memory.
That's right. But every day is Halloween.
Every day is Halloween. But so from myself, Amy Barker, and the Geek Actually team, and thank you for joining us today. We do hope you found some interesting podcasts to listen to, including this one here. Yeah, as we said, you can follow us on Twitter at Pillow Fortcast, and of course, Geek Actually. If you'd like some more information about anything you've heard on today's show, go to our website, podcastpillowfort.com, where all the links to all the shows that we've spoken about are in our show notes. We hope to see you next time, right here, in the very comfy Podcast Pillow Fort.